This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XE30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXE30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
Mellanox opens up Ethernet.
And sequestering science and research.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for March 8, 2013, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Richard Brandt, editor of HPC Wire. And Addison Snell is traveling today, so I'm joined once again by Michael Feldman of Intersect 360 Research. Hello, Michael.
Hey, good morning, Richard. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good. Very good. So this is, I guess it's a week after this big U.S. government sequester started, and we're seeing a lot of sort of angst and activity around that since now we're officially into the government sequestration. And it's interesting, you know, we've been reading a lot about how it's going to affect our little community. I mean, basically, yeah, especially the researchers and some of the agencies, the big government agencies that HPC is in. It's a little worrisome.
Yeah, especially when we're looking at all the work going on in the national labs and funding from DOE and different organizations. DOE is always interested in this stuff. But we've gotten a few labs. I think Lawrence Livermore National Lab is looking at salary reductions, and Stony Brook University in general is looking at cuts. But nobody quite knows exactly what the impact will be yet.
Right. I mean, they're still sort of sorting out how all the reductions are going to be allocated. I mean, you mentioned those two labs. I think I saw another piece on Oak Ridge. They're thinking they're going to be cut by 5 to 8% at that lab, which amounts to quite a bit of money. That's a big lab, so we're talking about $70 to $100 million just this year. The thing is, I mean, it seems like, you know, the sequester itself, it's a little obfuscated. It's only supposed to be like 2 to 3% of the budget, but since it's all directed towards this discretionary spending, it actually ratchets up to more like 5 to 8%. For the things that are going to be cut, because there's a lot of, you know, non-discretionary spending that can't be cut. So especially
right.
For the DOD, the DOE, and these guys, and the NSF, it's going to be quite painful.
Yeah, it is, because they can decide anywhere, you know, even within the discretionary spending, exactly what they're going to cut. So the stuff they decide on is going to be higher. And some people don't like the idea of the national labs getting funded for research. They'd rather have private industry do it.
Right. I mean, and then, yeah, the NSF, I mean, the NSF grants, the things that, you know, sound sort of esoteric to a lot of politicians always get, you know, kind of skewered, but a lot of those NSF grants are going in and funding a lot of, you know, the research that we're interested in that has a direct connection to high-performance computing. I think they said this sequestration will probably cut 1,000 grants just this year, just in 2013. That means like 1,000 or 1,500 fewer students and a couple hundred fewer postdocs. And, you know, if they don't do anything about the legislation and let this go on, down the road it's going to get even worse. They're talking about like an 8% reduction of these projects over 5 years, which is quite a bit. I mean, it's, you know, the science funding has been flat basically for a decade, but this would be a reduction. I mean, it would start to actually cut down on the research going into the U.S. funded R&D. So it's quite significant.
Yeah, and it's you know, we have no idea right now exactly where it will be cut, but we can also assume that probably recently announced funding and stuff that still hasn't paid out might be the first to go. There's the Express project we wrote about end of last week, the CREST at Indiana University, the Center for Research in Extreme Scale Computing, just announced that it got over $1 million grant to do its part of the research on the Express Exascale project. And it makes you wonder if they're actually going to get the money at this point.
Right. That's the DOE's big Exascale programming environment system software project, right? And that's being run out of Sandia, I guess. But yeah, I mean, this was $1 million for that over 3 years, but of course the DOE is going to be affected by this. This is all discretionary spending, so you sort of wonder, yeah, would this affect that? And I guess, you know, when you mention that, the bigger issue here is the Exascale programs in general at the DOE and even maybe the DOD to some extent. This is all new research, and this would be the stuff that would tend to get cut during this sort of environment where your money's being cut, and the agencies would tend to protect their sort of legacy research and development projects. This Exascale stuff is the newest type things, and it seems like these would be more on the chopping block than some of the older programs that the agencies are supporting right now. So it makes me think, you know, if the sequester type environment goes on for too long, I mean, this could push the U.S. Exascale effort out even further than it's already been, and which is, you know, it's not going along at a great clip right now, it seems like.
Yeah, and I wonder just how vulnerable DOE is in general. There's been a lot of criticism. There's been a lot of funding from the DOE on research during the Obama administration. And, you know, certainly Exascale is a significant part of it for what we're doing. But it's also, what was the company? Solardyne?
Wow, Solardyne, right.
that fell apart. I mean, that's a famous DOE funding case that got huge criticism. And one wonders exactly what it'll be. But we've got to wait a little while to find out, I guess. I'm not sure how long it'll be before they make some decisions on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, right. I mean, the cuts have to be sort of allocated or deallocated, as it were. And, yeah, I mean, presumably for the short term, at least, it's not going to be, you know, people aren't going to give up on supercomputing deployments. Those things have been in the pipeline for years, and those are big. But, you know, the long-term prospects of sort of a political climate where everybody wants to, you know, cut the budget and cut discretionary funding doesn't seem like a good outcome for our community. And it just it sort of pains me to hear about it and to think that, the U.S. especially, and to some extent other countries as well, in Europe are in a very sort of, you know, austerity type of mindset right now. And it's sort of short-term thinking because, of course, you know, as people sort of agree, that this is the type of funding that does grow, this type of research does grow economies and industry. But, you know, you have to make the investment up front. Right now, people are just not wanting to do deficit spending in any case.
Yeah. Well, some people in Congress believe that. Some don't.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens.
Need scalability across the performance spectrum? The Cray XC30 supercomputer family delivers on Cray's commitment to an adaptive supercomputing architecture that provides both extreme scalability and sustained performance, leveraging a robust processor roadmap, high-performance interconnect, and flexible network topology. Users can configure the exact machine to meet their specific requirements today and also remain confident that they can upgrade and enhance their system to address the most challenging multi-petaflop application demands of the future. To learn more about Intel Xeon processor-enabled Cray supercomputers, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
So we've also got an announcement of Mellanox wanting to open up Ethernet.
Yeah, that was a very interesting story. I saw that. They sort of made an announcement. They haven't done a whole lot now. I mean, they've sort of been on this road for a while, but they've sort of put a stake in the ground saying they want to do a lot more of the Ethernet software stack into open source and support their switches with that type of software.
Yeah, and they just announced this. They said they had taken several months planning this out and getting feedback from their customers on how this would whether this sounded reasonable, and they say that they've gotten hugely favorable feedback on this, and so want to create this. They're calling it the generation of open Ethernet, and I guess they've got a couple of stacks that they've made some decisions on, or at least temporary decisions or tentative positions. For routing layer 3, they're looking at the things that Quagga is doing, and they've got the OpenFlow group to work on the controller for this. So,
right. I mean, these things I think have gotten a lot of attention. They're becoming popular, especially with the scale out crowd with Web 2.0 and the cloud providers, where they sort of those types of environments want more commodity type switching, and this sort of technology allows you to do that and allows you the flexibility to do that as well. And I guess it all makes a lot of sense from Mellanox's point of view. This the open source community is very much compatible with their traditional customer base in high performance computing, so their customers are probably saying if you want to get into the Ethernet switch business and do this, which they're relatively new to, this is the way to go. So sort of the culture at Mellanox and the customer culture there, I think this sort of fits in. And then their aspirations to get out into the enterprise space, of course, with the Ethernet technology and products now, it makes sense there too, because that's what the market is demanding, a more open software stack that is less like the legacy, proprietary systems that were common in the past.
Right, and with Mellanox sort of accustomed to this kind of approach with InfiniBand, that it might give them, if this sort of thing catches on, then it ought to give them a bit more of an advantage to push this. Depends on how other companies take the approach. But we'll have to see. They've just announced this. They haven't made too many announcements about the backers or where this is going next. Although there are some speeches coming up, some things from Mellanox. They are CEO. Waldman is going to be making a presentation which is titled, what is this, Welcome to the Generation of Open Ethernet. That's going to be at the Ethernet Technology Summit in San Jose, first week of April. And it'll be interesting to see what he says about that. And the company's also making an open switch demonstration at Interop in Las Vegas. That's in May. So maybe we'll get a little bit more information about what's happening here at those events.
Yeah, and I guess the bet they're making is this will catch on for these emerging markets that they're interested in, and I think they basically started down this road a while back as they built their own ASICs for Ethernet switches and the switches themselves. So. Yeah, you have to build the hardware a little differently, sort of to work with an open framework than you would otherwise. I mean, you can take advantage of that. So obviously, they're not going to open source their own ASICs or the drivers or the firmware around those, but certainly to take advantage of these open source software stacks, you can do things that are somewhat competitive, and you can go up against some of the legacy Ethernet switch makers and even some of the newer ones that aren't taking this approach, at least at this point, and if they can get a wedge in that market.
Right. Yeah. I mean, definitely they're going to keep the firmware and their physical technology to themselves, keep the hardware to themselves. But opening the rest of this up, they're claiming that's what their companies would like to see, to stop being locked in by the proprietary software from other companies. So we're going to have to see what happens. It'll be interesting to watch what happens going forward anyway.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they come up with some partners and other people kind of hop onto this bandwagon in the future. So, okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that one over the coming months and just see where it takes us. So, okay. It's great to talk to you again, Michael.
Great to talk to you, Richard.
Yeah, so we'll try to do it again sometime.
Yeah, I'll give you Addison back next week, hopefully, and go on. Hopefully, there'll be other big news stories. We're coming up to the conference season pretty well, so we're starting to kind of gear up for that as it rolls into spring and
yes.
So lots of news coming up, I think.
Yep, I think so. Right. Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you, Richard.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.